that she does feel your presence and she does feel your peace. We just ask for that to continue. We just ask healing. Lord, the hot spots that showed up on the PET scan, Lord, in her bones, Lord, we just ask you to fill that. We ask you to heal those bones in the name of Jesus, and you would eradicate cancer from her body. We just ask your peace and your healing to be upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Norm's dad, Babe Hill, Lord, who's been put in a nursing home this week. Father, we ask your peace to be upon Babe in Jesus' name, Lord, and you just bless surrounding with your peace and your presence. And God, I just thank you for your word that says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, I pray that he would sense that. I just pray peace on Norm and Carol. And Lord, in that transition, which is hard, and Lord, we just pray your peace on them in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Jerry Riggio. I don't know why I can't ever get his name. Jerry Riggio. Lord, he's having surgery on Tuesday in St. Louis. Lord, they're going to repair his, just, that's amazing what they can do, the docs. And so, Lord, we thank you for what docs can do. And Lord, that you're the ultimate creator. And Lord, you created his esophagus and you can do it again. And so, Lord, we just pray healing on Jerry, guidance on the doctors. And Lord, we just ask your peace on him and his family and healing on Jerry in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for Don and Shirley Burmeister. Lord, how you just have sustained them. Don in the nursing home, Shirley, and Lord, that they're healthy and they're strong. And we just give you all glory, all honor, and praise. Lord, for your just sustaining grace on Don and Shirley. And we just ask your continued mercy and grace on them in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Dixie's great niece and her husband, Matt Davis, as they grieve and mourn the loss of Matt's father. And Lord, we ask for your comfort to be upon them, your peace. Lord, we pray for all of those who are grieving the loss of loved ones due to COVID, Lord, due to other things. Lord, the promise is that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And Lord, we pray for the Woody Woodside family, Lord, and the grieving that loss. And Father, just bless and heal all who the hearts of those who are grieving and mourning in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those that need healing from COVID. We pray for Pam's granddaughter Cass, Lord, and others that are suffering with COVID, Lord. We just ask strength to come. We pray healing to come to their whole entire bodies, strength to their lungs, Lord, strength to their immune system, that you would just bless them, that you would sustain them. We thank you, Father, for getting Jacob and Danielle through their bout with COVID, Lord, that they may be going back to school this week. And Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and grace, that it was just contained to them, that Jacob, or that Abby and Adam and Sally didn't get it. And so, Lord, we just thank you for a mild case. We thank you, God, for your hand of protection. And, Lord, we ask to just bless and guide. Lord, all that need healing in their body, we thank you that you're the healer. And I ask you to touch bodies today. Anybody that's suffering from pain today, in their neck, in their back, in their knees, in their hips, God, we just ask healing to come to bodies. told you this before, but one of my favorite preachers is Jill Briscoe. And she said there's always green grass when you come to the Word. You think you know something really, really well, and as you come, you just let the Holy Spirit teach you. It just kind of unveils more. And I had one of these moments this week where I was like, whoa, oh, Lord Jesus. And he's just totally unveiling this to me. And so it's hard when you think you know something, and then he kind of takes you up, and you're like, hey, so I'm going to do my best to kind of convey what I'm seeing in this. But I think it's going to be helpful to think about, as I'm going to go through this, think about it as a circle, all right? It's not linear. It's not one, two, three. It's like, no, it's here, and then it's here, and then it's here, and then it comes back. So that's going to make sense in a second, but that's been a helpful image for me to think about as I have gone through this passage this morning. And I think in the church in the West, uniquely the church in the West, you don't see it in Nicole has been, she can correct me if I'm wrong, she's been in, how many countries have you been in, Nicole? Like 13? 15 different countries. And one of the things unique to the West is we have made Christianity like a decision. Well, that's a decision I made when I was 3. I came to the altar when I was 6. We kind of just leave it as like a mental ascent. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. We just kind of run on. But that is not what you see in Scripture. And the Lord is bringing correction to that right now, to his church. And what does it look like to follow Jesus? What does it look like to be born again and be his disciple? And 3 weeks ago, and I encourage you, if you haven't heard that sermon, go back and listen to it. Not because I did a great job preaching it, but because it's beautiful what Peter says. He says that you, and he's writing, and he said it to these people, and he says it to us, that you have the same precious faith that I have. It's the same faith. It's a precious faith, and it's the same thing. And you look at Peter's life and everything he experienced and all that he encountered, and we can encounter that too, because Jesus is alive, and it's the same precious faith. And we tend to think, well, that was back then. We don't see miracles now. No, actually, they do in other parts of the world. But for many of us, we bring the Scripture down to our level. But we need to come up to a level of Scripture and say, Lord, this is what your Word says, and Lord, I want to go after that. I want to see that. I want to see signs. I want to see miracles. I want to see it. I want to see it's the same precious faith. And so, Lord, help me as I try to delve into this. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. And it's how everything works together. What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus? How do we walk that out in our lives? Father, I thank you for your Word, that it's living and active, that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, you know that I am not adequate. You know I am not smart enough. You know I can't do this. But Lord, I pray that what I have sensed, that what I have seen in your Word this week, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. I ask you to come and teach us this morning. I ask you to open our eyes, as what was played as the prelude. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. So, Lord, come. Reveal your Son to us. Teach us. Lord, I pray you would anoint me. You would anoint me today to teach, to exhort, to preach. Lord, just anoint me. Help me to convey what I have seen. Pray, Lord, you give focus my mind and help me, Lord, to be clear. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 and read through verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What is it that's given to us? You all, it's divine power. His divine power has given to us all things. And I haven't translated Greek in a while. And as I was doing this, and I'm not great at Greek, I'm not very good at it, I can get by. But this week, it was like, oh God, because Peter is writing, he's very different than Paul in the Gospels. And so this is really hard Greek, but I did get this, all right? And the syntax, what Greek will do is it will unload at the very beginning the emphasis. And I have to sneeze, and I do not have COVID, so hold on just a second. Thank you, Wood. All right. What that says in verse 3 is if the emphasis is to us all things. To us all things. Okay? Isn't that amazing? To us all things. It's like, oh, all things what? To us all things divine power. And just think about that for a moment. That is just amazing to think about. All things. To us all things. God has given divine power. All things. It's like, well, Lord, really? All things? Yeah. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Just think about that for a moment. Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's the promise. That's where we start. And what does that practically often look like in our lives? That's one of those things that's kind of out there, but you think about your life. Jesus has promised us peace. How often do we appropriate that divine power to stay in that place of peace? His divine power has given us abundant life. But how many of us live in anxiety and fear? His divine power reveals the love of the Father to us. But how many of us really know how much we're loved? John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning, and all the world was made through Him. When you go outside, and isn't it fun? You guys may curse me, but last week I said I want snow, and then there was snow. But the snow and the seasons, and it's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Spring is coming. We're going to see the dogwoods bloom in a few months. But you go out in the moon this week, do you see the full moon? Absolutely gorgeous. And you go out and you look at the stars. You look at the moon. You just see what God has done. And you all, it's gorgeous. And God did that. Jesus was the Word. Through Him, the worlds came into existence. And the finest, tiniest little snowflakes, the intricacies in that, to our bodies and how they work. And it's just amazing what God has done in and through creation. Isaiah chapter 40. Chuck read part of that this morning. But Isaiah is just standing in awe of creation, His divine power. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He, it's God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like Him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and see, who created all these? Who created the stars? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of His might, and because He is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? Why do you say this, April Turner? Why do you say this, fill in your name? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and not be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. David says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? And he's marveling at creation. And he's looking at the stars. He's looking at the mountains. And he says, Lord, who are you? Who am I? You created all these that you would remember me. He's the creator. His divine power. The one who created the world, who created the snow, who created the butterfly. He created all things. And in the book of Revelation, I love this. Yes, they sing, Worthy is the Lamb. But they're still singing. You know, when we are in heaven, and heaven and earth are going to pass away, you know what we're still going to be praising God for? That He's the creator. He's an amazing, powerful creator. They're singing, Lord, You're beautiful, and You created all things. His divine power has given us all things for life and godliness. This one who's a creator, He's created all things. He's given us divine power. It's amazing. We see it displayed in creation. And it's given to us by knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's an element of God who's creator, but then we experience Him as Savior. This one, Philippians chapter 2, let's go over and look at that. Knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we see Him in creation, but then we also see Him in redemption. And again, I talked a lot about this during Lent. Not Lent. taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And we can encounter him. He died on the cross for our sins. If we believe in him, that spirit in us that's dead becomes alive, and we encounter him, and you have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead living in you. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's divine power that's granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, the encountering of him, who called us to his own glory and excellence, which is amazing. So now you have the divine living in you. You are made in the image of God, and he's living in you. His spirit, if you ask him to come in, you're born again, and he's living inside of you. He's called us to his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. All right, so this is what blew me away this week. All right, so we have divine power. We see it in creation. We can encounter it. We ask him to come. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. We believe in that. We're born again. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. It's powerful. All right, so you have that. So follow the circle. You come around. And then he says this, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. You all, there is an element that unless we are in the Word of God and we let the Scriptures, Romans chapter 12 says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's your acceptable worship, and let your mind be renewed. Okay? So we're born again, but we also need the Word of God. It's not enough just to be born again and not have the Word, because we have his very great and precious promises, so that we become divine partakers. Without the Word of God, our mind isn't renewed. And you have to be born again, but you also have to be in the Scriptures. And that's what's astounding to me. I've never seen that connection. But it makes sense, because in the parable of the soils, Luke chapter 8, let's go over there. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 8. Jesus is teaching. It's one of the few parables that Jesus explains, that he actually goes through and explains it. Is it Luke 8 or is it Luke 9? Thank you. Verse 4. A great crowd was gathering. People from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, and he said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Jumping down to verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones who are on the rock are those, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. We need to be really, really careful that in the season that we're in right now, that we don't fall. there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, so you come to church, we come and we hear the word, but as you leave, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The good seed, the word of God, but it's dependent on the soil of our heart. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. An honest and good heart. We have to be in the word. We're born again. And Peter says that's great. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The one who created the heavens and earth, who sent his son, it's in you. It's in you. And he says we have these very great and precious promises so that you may partake in the divine nature. When I first became a Christian, it was really, really important. And I had a friend who led me to Jesus. She wrote down scriptures and she said, April, you need to read these scriptures. Because when we're a baby Christian, the enemy wants to come and he wants to steal the word away from our hearts. And he wants to condemn us. He wants to accuse us. He wants us to stay like a baby. And so she started, I had a bunch of scriptures. And I still remember them to this day. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul gives us the armor. Gives us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, and the shield of faith, which with we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When the enemy comes and he's lying and he's accusing us, oh, God really doesn't love you. It's like, nope, yes, he does. Yes, he does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know. God really doesn't love you. Yes, he does. Romans chapter 8, neither death nor life nor angels or demons, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, I don't know. That sin was pretty bad. Nope. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Well, I don't know if I can make it to the end. Nope. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with exceedingly great joy. Philippians chapter 3. He who began a good work in you will see it to its completion. And we need to know the word. When the devil came and he tempted Jesus, what was going on there? Jesus started quoting scripture to him, and the devil started quoting scripture back to Jesus. And yet we have to know the word, because he will come. He is an accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren, and he is the father of lies. And he will come, and he will lie to us about God's nature. He will lie to us about our nature, about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He will come and lie to us about other people, and we have to know the truth. And Jesus is the truth. We are living in a day and age where there is great deceit. We're living in a day and age of great lies. Read 2 Peter. I encourage you to do that because he talks about that. And we have to know the word. You cannot make it in this hour if we're not in the scriptures. And we need to stand. And I love that Peter, and he ties it all together. And he says, by which he's granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. And so how do we grow in the knowledge of the love of God? How do we grow in who Jesus really is? How do we grow? We do it by reading the word. Read the book of Ephesians. Know who you are. Know Jesus, who know who he is. Read the book of Colossians. You're feeling like, oh man, I just feel like God, this is all falling apart. Read the book of Colossians. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn above all creation. All things have been created by him and through him. And we need to know that. We need to confess it. We need to stand on it. His very great and precious promises. And Peter uses a word here, and he uses it twice. He uses it in verse 3. His divine power has granted to us. And then in verse 4, by which he has granted to us. That word for grant, it's a word for honor, to bestow something, something that we don't deserve, but God has granted it to us. He's honored us with his power, with his word, with his son, and it's all, he's given it to us, and then we read the word, and we stand on these very great and these very precious promises. And Jesus, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment. I could spend hours talking about the promises of God. I've read to you some, but I just want to read to you a few more. What are these great and these very precious promises? Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus himself said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. 1 Peter chapter 2. Who are you? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus' first sermon. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. He rolled up that scroll in his hometown, and he says, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. These are the very great and precious promises. The Son has been given. Jesus has come. The Holy Spirit has been poured out, promised in Joel chapter 2. He's promised to change our hearts, to purify us, so that we may become divine partakers of the nature. Whoa. What? You get to participate in the divine. If you're born again, you believe in Jesus, you have the Spirit of God, you're standing on the Word, you're believing it, you're soaking in it, you're meditating on it. When all hell is breaking loose, there's storms and all of that, we can be asleep in the boat with Jesus because he's faithful and he is true and he is good and he will never leave us and he will never forsake us, and we begin to participate in the divine. Paul, Philippians 3, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. When I preached on that this summer, that means to encounter his sufferings, to identify with his body broken, to receive his blood poured out, that you are meditating on that every day, that when you fail, you come and say, Jesus, I need your life. I need your blood. Lord, forgive me once again. Forgive me once again. And we appropriate that. We believe in that. And it's not just something we do once a month, but it's something we think about. We meditate on every single day. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know Christ, and I want to know him crucified, because that's our life. That's where we get everything we need, is through Jesus Christ. Given us divine power, we stand on the word of God through these very great and these precious promises, and through them we get to participate in the divine nature. Do you see the circle? Do you see it? The divine power, the creator who sent his son, and we believe in the promises of God. We believe in what he's done. We stand on it, and as we do that, and we engage with him, and we talk with him, and we pray, and sometimes we're like, Lord, this is your promise, but this is my reality. I need you to help me. Help me, God. Help me. And we read it, and we ask him for it. We say, this is what your word says, God. This is what your word says. You've promised me life. You've promised me peace. And Lord, I need your peace. I need your love. Cry out for him. He never turns away those who are hungry. He never turns away. And if your life is down here and the word of God is up here, you keep praying it and ask him, and he will do it. He will do it, because he's a good, good, good father. Does God need a partner? like, nope, I'm going to try to figure it out myself. Nope, Lord, I'm not going to spend time in your word. I'd rather do this. And he was like, okay, you want to live in that little anxiety? You want to keep running around there? Or do you want to stay in that path of peace and live with him and say yes to him? He wants to co-labor with us. He wants to cooperate with us. And he wants to collaborate with us. Beautiful. It's beautiful. So, Father, I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Lord, we praise you for your divine power. It's amazing, Lord, to think what you've done. The creator of the universe, that you would send your son, you would die on the cross. You resurrected in power. Pour out your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we could participate in the divine nature. It's amazing. And Lord, I thank you that being a Christian is more than just raising our hand, saying a prayer. It's walking with you. It's yielding with you. Lord, we want the soil of our hearts to be good soil. not an inheritance. Oh, what love you've lavished on us, oh Father. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to read it, to be good soil, that it would produce fruit 100%.